The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My formal interview day was quite the adventure. I arrived in Denver at 8 a.m. after a 6 a.m. flight from Nashville. I spent the whole day hoping to convince the search committee that yes, something good can come out of Kentucky. I was dropped off at the hotel back in Denver at 10:30 that night, where I set an alarm for 2:30 a.m. to catch a shuttle to the airport to take my return flight back to Nashville so I could get to class on time. I'm going to take a second to breathe after that. So when I got back to the Nashville airport at 11 that morning, I was feeling a lot of things. For one, I was excited. I had just spent a day with some truly incredible people in a really beautiful city and was reminded over and over throughout the course of the day of why I was following a call into congregational ministry. I was also a little overwhelmed. Nashville is the furthest I've lived from my home in Bardstown, Kentucky, and that's only about a 3-hour drive away. Fort Collins is somewhere around 17 hours. So I was filled with all these emotions, excitement, inspiration, fear, and a little bit of nervousness about whether or not I was even going to be the one for the job. But really, I was just downright tired. So I got back and I got on the airport shuttle to ride to the parking lot where I had left my car. Since I knew I was only going to be in Fort Collins for a day, I had only brought the essentials, so I wouldn't have to check a bag. Thus, I was rocking my business casual look with a button-down and a blazer. No one else was on the shuttle, so I sat near the front, close to the driver. I remembered striking up a conversation with the bus driver, a woman whose name I sadly just can't remember. We talked a lot about the construction around the airport that made her job driving a bus all the more difficult, but in general, she said she was happy to have the job. The conversation paused for a second, and she looked back at me and she said, "Did you just get back from an interview?" I laughed a little bit too, because I was really caught off guard, and responded, "I did, actually." "Well, I think you're going to get it, and honestly, I think you probably want it." That was it. Here I was on an airport shuttle, a bus ride that lasted no longer than 7 minutes, and this happens. Other than the clothes I was wearing, there was no context, nothing really to prompt her comment. It was, by all accounts, completely unexpected. But in this moment of surprise came an aha moment, an epiphany, or maybe an invitation to come and see the ways that God is at work. A bus driver, a stranger, named something in me that I had yet to name for myself. If we are willing to pay attention, it seems that God so often shows up in all kinds of unexpected ways, in unexpected places, at unexpected times, and through unexpected people. I can't help but wonder, what was Nathanael expecting? For all we know, he's been hanging out under a fig tree when his friend Philip comes with some pretty remarkable news. Philip says, "We have found him, about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote about, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael responds, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Now, Nathanael tends to get a pretty bad rap for this question, and he is most certainly illuminating a stereotype about how people viewed folks from Nazareth during this time. These folks were generally poor and looked down upon, yet somehow he's supposed to believe that the one whom Moses and the prophets wrote about is this guy named Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael's question isn't that unreasonable, is it? A few verses before this story, John the Baptist proclaims the one that was coming after him was so powerful and mighty that John felt he was unworthy to kneel down and untie his sandals. How can the one that is going to change everything come from Nazareth? If we are willing to pay attention, it seems that God so often shows up in all kinds of unexpected ways. In unexpected places, at unexpected times, and through unexpected people. Philip, without missing a beat, simply tells Nathanael, "Come and see." A simple invitation that Nathanael could have easily said was ridiculous. "Nothing good can come from Nazareth, and I'm not going to waste any more time on this." But he doesn't dismiss Philip. He listens, and he goes. To Nathanael's surprise, Jesus has known him, sitting under the fig tree before Philip had ever even called him. The story fits so perfectly within the season of Epiphany because it is in this unexpected moment that Nathanael realizes and proclaims, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." Yes, Jesus of Nazareth. I practically live at a coffee shop near my apartment called JJ's Market and Cafe. And for the past 3 years, I would get up every morning and I would get there around 7:15. And I eventually started to become friends with their owner, Sam, who's a 55-year-old Korean man. He actually started at Vanderbilt Divinity School this past fall and now introduces me to everyone we meet as his mentor. Sam spends more time mentoring me than I think he realizes. Many mornings we'd be the only ones in the coffee shop and Sam would have a book highlighted with notes in the margins and he'd be like, Daniel, come here. And I'd stand at the counter and we'd share in theological conversation. And one morning we were talking about how God has this amazing tendency to surprise us when he shared with me a Korean proverb that says, "A dragon rises from a small stream." I looked at him really confused and said, "Sam, that doesn't make any sense." "It's not supposed to," he said. In Asian mythology, dragons can sometimes be associated with symbols of divinity because they are strong and powerful creatures. These myths often talk about how dragons rise up from the depths of the oceans. He said streams are shallow bodies of water and are viewed as dirty and messy. Wouldn't it be so unexpected for something so powerful to come up out of something seemingly so insignificant? But isn't that the reality? The divine is so often in the mess and in the dirt and in the unexpected. A dragon rises from a small stream. Can anything good come from a driver on an airport shuttle? Can anything good come from a coffee shop owner? Can anything good come from someone who is poor, forgotten, broken, oppressed? I think that these are the wrong questions. God shows us time and time again that God is so present in the places where people are vulnerable and hurting. Are we willing to take the risk to look for how God is breaking through in the unexpected places and through the unexpected people? Are we willing to seek deep relationship with God's people, hearing their stories and opening up the possibilities that we might indeed be transformed by our connection with God in the surprising moments? Epiphanies rarely happen when or where or how we expect them to. But there are moments that remind you that God is at work and calling us into special places. Sometimes they come in the form of a child who, when asked why churches do the passing of the peace in worship, they responded, "Well, God is holy, And I think God wants us to make other people feel holy too. Other times we have epiphanies that are so overwhelming and unexplainable, like being at the last night of camp, carrying the bread and cup down a dimly lit path to worship, and your body being filled with a spirit that you just can't comprehend, but you know is important. Sometimes it's the word of a stranger driving an airport shuttle, naming something in you that you might not have named for yourself. And sometimes epiphanies take the form of a person named Jesus from Nazareth. God so often shows up in all kinds of unexpected ways, in unexpected places, at unexpected times, and through unexpected people. Come and see. Amen.